What's up, guys? Welcome to this episode of The Friday Session. This week's a really meandering one. We started off talking about the Woolworths controversy when I said, don't be so hard on Woolworths, right? Stop beating up on Woolworths. They're not as bad as you think. And I got absolutely savaged all week. So we dive into a little bit of the learnings from that. We then talked about some stuff about first and second mortgage lending. We were going to dive into something we didn't get to, but it was a really interesting discussion about how to finance property with no money of your own. So we talked about the difference between first mortgage, second mortgage, or mezz lending, and how James on the panel has put together a deal at the moment that they're about to go to Incon as we speak, and how it's very possible in this country without any money to make a lot of money from real estate when you understand non-bank alternative financing. So we touch on that. We talked a little bit about the Trump tariffs as they relate to Australia, and then we closed out with a bit of a discussion about how to deal with hardships of small business right now because things are tight out there. I also got savage for that post which I made about Australia being in a recession. I believe we are in a recession. A lot of people are feeling it. So if that's you, if you are feeling it in small business, you'll find the very end of this pod quite useful as well. Thanks for watching. Enjoy, like, subscribe. Thanks for watching. What is up, everybody? Welcome to this episode of The Friday Session. We have a full desk once again. Here to my right, Eric Machado. What is going on, Eric? Welcome to the panel again.
Thanks, buddy. Glad to be here. Excited for the catch up with the boys.
Nice to have you. Tony, welcome back.
Thank you. It's going to be a fucking epic one today. I'm excited.
And JD, looks like you stole mum's tea towels and got a new shirt.
It's my maternity shirt. Christmas was a bit more festive than I first thought. So, you know, just covering it up. But I managed to put a little logo on it to try and keep up with the Joneses over here with your new fucking $3,000 shirt.
I know. It's I actually quite like this shirt. This is, for those of you who missed last week's pod, this was a young entrepreneur from Melbourne who's making these shirts. We gave him a shout out to help him along with his business. It's actually a cool shirt. Get quite a few comments, so that's good to see. So, guys, let's jump straight into it this week. I am fresh off the barbecue myself. You know, I want to start off with this story because in the past week, we've had a million clicks or views across social media, and a good chunk of them was from one 60-second reel where I said, hey, guys, the problem isn't the cost of your groceries at Woolworths. The problem is the devaluation of our currency. And I got absolutely savage this week. And you know, I never knew this, guys, but apparently I've got big teeth. I didn't know that. Did anybody else notice?
Oh, fuck you too.
I was thoroughly reminded this week of how big my teeth are, but it's interesting because it absolutely hit a nerve. And so I want to talk about a couple of storylines or vectors that came out of that for everybody listening because really ultimately the whole purpose of this pod is to help people do better in life financially. That's what Unemployable is about. So what vectors can be taken, or what stories can be taken from this that add value to the way we need to think if we want to be successful with money? So the first one was, you know, it was really interesting, the similarity in language, apart from the abuse I've talked about, the similarity in the way people described why Coles and Woolies are evil. And it's pretty much exactly the same words because everybody watches the same media. And so mainstream media love to vilify these big corporates. And look, sometimes it's founded, of course, but they love to vilify these major corporates because it winds people up. If you tell Australians you're getting ripped off at the fuel pump, if you tell Australians being ripped off by Coles and Woolies, they're going to get angry, they're going to share it, they're going to make a lot of noise, and that's what mainstream media is in the business of doing. What's become absolutely abundantly clear is people have lost the ability to have critical debate. There was very little, hey, mate, I think that might be wrong for this and that reason. There was a lot of just flat out abuse and simple thinking, not wanting to dig into it. And so some of that, and I think that's really dangerous for anybody wanting to be successful. We have to learn critical thinking. We need to question where we got the information and why we think the way that we think. But I want to start with the top of the story, which is top angle. One that I got hit was, oh, you know, the Woolworths CEO is on $8 million a year, and when he was put in front of Parliament, he couldn't even look the guy in the eye. Why is that if he's not such the biggest scam in the world? Well, when you read the comments, you understand why the guy doesn't want to say he's making $8 million a year, because Australians will absolutely savage him because of what he does. But if you actually step back and think about this for a second, This Woolworths, and to be clear, I do not own shares in Woolworths or Coles. I'm not a paid shill or any of that stuff. I'm just trying to encourage people to think more logically about this stuff. When you look at a guy making $8 million, he's got over 200,000 employees in Woolworths, for a start. You've got over $70 billion in revenue that you are overseeing and a massive amount of infrastructure and capital and superannuation. That, like, the complexity and the breadth of that job and the fact that everybody hates whoever's running the business because their mandate is to create profits for shareholders. If you put it in perspective, like, the hypocrisy in my mind is stunning,
yep.
Right? So if you look at Adrian Patelli, everybody loves Adrian Patelli, mostly. They love him. I like him, right? He's a young guy in Melbourne. He's done really, really well. He's become a billionaire. Doing what? Selling lotto tickets. It's pretty much lotto tickets. It's done under the guise of a membership, and there's probably some discounts and benefits. But by and large, people are there for a chance to maybe win a Hilux ute or win a house, right? At the end of the day, when you really look at that business, what value is that adding to society relative to Woolworths, right? Like, feeding millions of Australians every week. He has got rich from most of his customers losing, and by most, I mean 99.9% of people who go in those drawers lose, right? No value added to their life. It's gone from working class into a guy who's flying a private jet. Now, is he getting crucified as a $3 million McLaren gets airlifted into his $40 million apartment in Melbourne? No, because Adrian's a nice guy. He's a good bloke. But the guy who gets up in the morning and runs a 200,000 plus employee business on a margin of less than 5%, if you look at the annual margins, they're like 2.5%, but this is in their financial returns, he gets crucified, right? Like, what are you guys
making? I understand, because they're in a position where they are just going with the crowd, and I get it. But in the same vein, if you're a business owner or a nurse or a doctor, you know how much weight you have on your shoulders. You got the weight of providing for your family, you got expenses, you got taxes. Like, it's super fucking heavy. And I don't think we stop to think about what you just shared. Like, the pressure that guy feels is immense. And he is directly rewarded in that $8 million for the weight he's carrying on his shoulders. And it's such an Australian thing to just bring people down and throw stones and get angry. What would happen if Woolies just disappeared?
But not only that, it's like, again, no matter how much we say here, we've got a small platform compared to the mainstream media. The guy didn't put up his hand and try and negotiate a larger wage. A board put him there. A board agreed to his wage. If his wage is not in line with the rest of the CEOs in Australia, sure, have a shot at him then. But then go back to what you just touched on, is the earnings reports. If the earnings reports, if the margins haven't changed over the last 15 years, what's it matter? But us trying to explain logic to fucking Bill and fucking Mary fucking Bankstown, it's not going to work. So it's difficult.
It's difficult. And people, like, they don't realize, like, you think about all the people that have gotten rich out of Coles and Woolies. Like, yes, they negotiate terribly hard with farmers and growers, and I'm sure that's brutal. But there's many multi-millionaires that have become multi-millionaires because they supply to Woolworths and they supply to Coles. Downstream, how many jobs are created in factories?
Indirectly.
And indirectly, manufacturing plants and farms and people who work, like, without those distribution points, where are they? And it is an extremely competitive business. And people are saying, oh, it's a duopoly and they just rip people off. Like, and I had people saying, oh, they ripped off their workers and underpay them. That happened. Australia, yes, they did underpay employees for a period of time, but Australian employment law is so insanely complex. Do you really think there was a board meeting at Woolworths where they sat down and somebody said, I want to move a motion that we secretly screw our employees by $1.50 an hour? Do you really think that happened in a boardroom meeting somewhere in Sydney or Melbourne?
No, like, not with a public company as well. I mean, all minutes are noted. Like, it's public information. Like,
human beings make mistakes, especially when you're running businesses that big. They happen, but people go, oh yeah, no, they sat around and they knowingly screwed. Oh, come on.
I want to come back to Adrian, and the reality is this: Adrian is an unbelievable person in regards to the content that he's creating. Right, I follow him. I think what he's doing is pretty cool. What he's doing is he's creating a community, right? That's what he's doing. And he's also advertising through the content creation on all the platforms and all the giving back that he's doing. Like, he's giving back millions and millions of dollars back into the community, you know, at Christmas and giving the toy drive and, you know, setting up the the race days and getting everyone. He's building that community around that, right? But he's visible. Mr. Beast, same thing. My kids love Mr. Beast. Why? Because he went to Ethiopia and he gave kids this and they planted trees and, right? On the back end of that, he's got Feastables now, which is, you know, a fast moving consumer good that's in Woolies, in Kohl's, and these types of things. And he'll be making millions and millions of dollars. The CEO of Woolies, no one knows who he is, right? Before this, I didn't even research him, right? I then researched him after obviously these comments. I didn't know who he is and what he was on. And the thing is, once someone, but you put him in the limelight and go, okay, this is, you know, Mr. Bob Jones, and he's going to be going into the community and doing giveaways and going here and looks like he's giving back. All of a sudden, people will look at him a little bit differently. The thing is, he's under the radar. Nobody knows what he's doing. And when it's like us, we show up every week and people comment, wow, so much value for free, so much value for free. And then people, there's a level of respect that you get from people, and within reason, right?
Like I'm your Zippo.
Like I'm a Zippo, right? And trust. What happens is when I go to Woolies, we're a Woolies shopper for whatever reason. Just happened that way. And when I go to Woolies, I look in people's carts, right? And most of the people that will be whinging about the high prices and the bullshit have their carts filled to the tits with rubbish, okay? With rubbish food, right? $25 a carton or whatever it is, $30 for Coca-Cola. Who in their right mind will spend $30 on a carton of Coke that you know is shit? And you shouldn't be drinking, but they're the first ones that are going to complain that shit's too expensive. They're the ones with all the granola bars, the chocolate bars, all the rubbish that's sitting there. And then they're the ones, the keyboard warriors going, oh, the Woolies, they're taking all my money. You're fucking giving them your money, mate.
Yeah.
Wake up.
Yeah. And another way to look at it as well is Coles and Woolies make money. That's their job as a business.
Correct.
But we complain about that and it's completely outside of our control. We have no control over it. Instead of looking at ways we can lower our spending or make more money or grow our business or increase our profit, we go into this bandwagon of Australian bullshit, which is complain, 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 bitch and moan.
Especially
about our own. And that mindset is so toxic. And the funny thing is, everyone listening to this right now who's in that mindset will go, fuck you, wanker. And everyone who's actually woken up and trying to build a life of success will go, yeah, fair enough. They do make money, but I can't control that. So what am I going to focus on? If you're listening to this and you're complaining about something you can't control, you're just handing your power away. It's complete bullshit.
Sticking to the facts here, like this idea of a duopoly, there's 600 Aldi stores, German-owned company that has got there way quicker than Coles and Woolies ever did, 600 Aldi stores. There's IGA and all the rest, and there's Costco, right? It's a very, very competitive space. And people say, oh, they've got record high margins. I'm like, one bloke said to me, well, why is it that I can go into Coles and a can of deodorant's 10 bucks?
Saw that.
And I go to Chemist Warehouse and it's $4. And I'm like, Chemist Warehouse is about to do an IPO and their margins are nearly 9%. Coles and Woolies is 2.5% to 3%, right? So they're triple the amount or even quadruple nearly Chemist Warehouse because they make money maybe on selling drugs, right? And selling pharmacy items and they have loss leaders. The business is complex. Sometimes businesses sell things cheap, but and others said, oh, they're hiding profits and so on. Look, even if you doubled what the amount is, they're running a business at 5%. If they've underestimated their earnings by 100% and you double it to 5%, that is a wafer thin business. And if you take the thing to its end conclusion, you go, okay, well, let's just make corporations not profitable, right? So basically communism, right? So what we need to understand is we get the leadership we deserve. JFK said this. In Australia, we bitch and moan about the politicians, how much they get paid. Well, listen, mate, if it's so fucking easy, why don't you go and run for politics? Why aren't you running? If you care so much, why aren't you running? The answer is because you're either too lazy or you won't take the pay packet or you won't eat the massive amount of shit sandwiches that are going to be served to you on a daily basis. I don't like politicians, right? At the moment, I don't like any of the political options. I don't like the Greens. I don't like One Nation after they passed on the free speech. But no. Mm-hmm. I sat here when Pauline was in your chair and said, I just donated on the free speech thing. A week later, they just abstain. But if I was a politician, imagine what a politician would cop on a weekly basis, the shit they would cop and the amount they're getting paid compared to what they could earn in the private sector. Stop bitching and moaning and saying, oh, there should be flying economy. If you want great leaders who are competing with the private sector, let's start paying our leaders like great leaders and stop insulting people you don't know without thinking it through. It's sad.
It's really fucking sad. It's a terrible state. But you know what? It's the small minority, the ones that comment, they'd never say it to your face. And they're the ones who are sitting in their mother's basement, not doing something with their lives. And there are people commenting on all of your videos, Adam, on all the unemployable videos saying, this is valuable. Thank you for changing my perspective. Yeah. This has made me look at it a different way.
I'm going to roll into this because I think this is good timing. On our chat, someone posted this week, PBD posting a video about signal and noise. And what he means by signal is like, is the behaviors that are going to make us a better person or a better business person, as an example, right? And the noise is, we know what the noise is, right? The noise is these types of comments. The noise is unemployable media's noise, right? And he mentioned that 82 hours a week we're being fed information. Right, whether we're looking online, listening to a podcast, looking at a billboard, it's all information. And a lot of these people, right, the general population that are worried about how much fuel prices are, right? Like I don't look at fuel prices. I don't look to make sure that, you know, the loaf of bread is on sale, right? But I've put myself in that position by signaling for a long time. I'm going, I don't want to be like that, right? I was growing up in a household where it was like that. I was growing up in a household where, and God bless it, you know, but we didn't know any other way back then. It's just you surround yourself with similar people, and that's what we do, right? We went through the coupons. We went through the flyers. We got flyers in Canada. They don't do that here. Meat's on sale at this place. Meat's on sale there. And we go to four or five different stores to try and save $50. And that's the reality of a lot of people, right? And I know a lot of people are in those situations, but you got to be careful what noise that you listen to. And usually it's our friends, it's the people closest to us, right? That all speak in that same language. And you have to make sure that, again, what behaviors that you're living by and that voice in your head and how you can change things. That's why I'm so passionate about what we do, because you know what? We can get 50 bad comments and all it takes is one good comment that supersedes the rest of the 50 for me, right?
The big noise as well is mainstream media. And that's why I started the show by saying everybody has the same words, because mainstream media's stock in trade is your rage. It's rage porn. And people wanna be told you're being screwed by these people.
Yeah.
And politicians want to sit there across the guy who's making $8 million a year and just barbecue him in front of the nation, because it's clicks and it's eyeballs. It's yeah. And you've got to be able to think logically and tune those things out.
It'd be a lion amongst the sheep. It was the same with the C word back a few years ago. Everyone follows the narrative. If you're following the narrative, start to question the narrative and you will have a much more successful and happy life.
It is hard when we're all indoctrinated in the same system.
Yeah.
Right? Like it is ridiculous. You know, I see it, you know, with kids now with on YouTube and these types, like they're just being fed so much information and they're living in this little bubble, right? And That's why, like with unemployable media or PBD or Hormozy or any of these people, most of these people are looking, right? How are they finding us? They're finding us in the scroll hole, right? We're posting every day. We're posting reels. So they're just flicking through and the algorithm is showing Adam talking about Coles and Woolies and how they're actually not that bad. And they're sitting there commenting back and forth and back and forth and back and forth, right? That's just one reel they're commenting on. Imagine all the other reels they're commenting on. Instead of taking some time and get yourself properly educated on some other stuff, no, they're just in this scroll hole wasting time and then being the victim, living below the line,
yep,
making excuses, not taking responsibility. I've been in the same spot
So have all of us on this panel.
But we chose something different. And if you're doing that scroll hole and playing the blame game, this is a message to you to just look in the mirror and go, what the fuck am I doing?
I heard a great thing this week, and it was this. If your life was a movie and you were the main character in that movie and the audience is watching your movie, what would the audience say to you right now? Like, stop scrolling. Or what would the audience say if they're watching a movie of life? It's really worth thinking about. The whole point of that thing underneath, you know, all I was really trying to say to people is get educated about money, because this whole idea of inflation, when you go in the rabbit hole, is the silent theft of your wealth. Because I know the average Australian out there is really, really hurting, and they're looking for a place to park the blame because everything's getting more expensive. The answer is not purely Coles and Woolies have put their prices up. That's such a simplistic, that whole idea of inflation is from Keynesian economics. And when you actually look into Keynesian economics, he sold the world on the idea that inflation is normal and inflation is what should happen and prices of everything should go up over time. If you actually explore who Keynesian was, right, the guy was actually a pedophile who traveled around knowingly having sex with little boys, grew up in a rich family, and sold this line of horse shit that the world's now believed. It's normal. It's actually not normal. If you go to work for a whole day and you get paid $200 for that day, it should be a reasonable expectation that you can spend that $200 today or in 2 years' time and get the same amount of goods and services. If you can't, because of inflation, you've actually been robbed of your money or your life. That's what I'm trying to say to people.
And make that the enemy.
Yes, is that get educated about what's going on at the very least. And that's why I keep saying to people, when you read the Bitcoin Standard, forget about the title Bitcoin. Bitcoin's only about 20% of it at the end. It'll educate you about money.
Unfortunately, most of the people weren't, they're too fucking lazy off their ass and take that first step, and because they want to be stuck in their echo chamber of shit.
Well, it's so easy to say, oh, it's them. And that's what they do, is they create a simple target for a simple mind to get angry and share the rage. And you've got, education's much harder.
And there's education, but as you get educated, there's a lot of confusion at the same time. Like I'm on news.com every day. And the reason why I'm on news.com every day and Gold Coast Bulletin every day is because I like to see the updates in regards to property and business, you know, what's going on.
And social pages occasionally.
and all within the same day, there'll be an article talking about how property prices are crashing and are going to crash. And in the same day, there's an article about records in certain areas. And, you know, once interest rates come down, we're going in for another. All, like, when you're someone that's trying to get educated and you read that, all that is causing confusion, which will cause fear. And it'll just make you sit on your hands and do nothing, because it is scary. Who do you believe? Right. And that's why you got to go deeper and listen to different pods and read different books to actually get really, really entrenched in how the economy works, how money works, because that is the root of everything. Once you understand how money works, things change.
Yep. And make that the enemy. So instead of pointing your finger at Coles and Woolworths, make the enemy the fact that you aren't educated. Make the enemy the fact that you have gaps in your awareness. Make the enemy the fact that you don't have enough money, and that's something you get to change. We're so good at focusing on the problems. We're so good at pointing the finger. So we already have that skill set. So use that skill set and make the enemy the lack of awareness and knowledge, and get educated.
And I'll give you one example on that, right? In my entire investing career in property, I have always used my own money and traditional banks. And to do that and to keep buying more property, what do you got to show? More and more income, more, which gives you more and more serviceability. Well, the more and more income that you show, what are you paying? More and more tax, right? And there's always going to be a time where it's like you want to do your next deal, but your serviceability is tapped out because you're doing X amount of projects. And I'm making a commitment within the next, you know, 3 to 6 months to become an expert. And I've already talked to James about this as well, and he's the same, to become an expert in regards to non-traditional financing options, right? Whether it's interest-bearing loans, whether it's equity, whether it's mezzanine financing, second-tier finance, all these different angles, because to me, it's about the deal, right? And for me, again, I'm not educated enough around the finance side. I understand how it works, but not at that deeper level, right? And we're surrounding ourselves with people, with like Shannon and Carson as an example, which they're telling me things. I'm like, you could actually do that? I'm like, yeah, man. I'm like, why have I been doing this, right, for all these years? Because that's what I was educated at. That was my level of education on finance and funding. Now, the next 3 to 6 months, it's going to open up a whole other opportunities.
Yeah, I was just about to say the same thing. Like Eric and I are putting some deals together at the moment, and we're going, okay, well, how do we fund this? No money out of pocket. I said, well, do the usual way, get an equity investor. And I just bring Eric, and I think it was yesterday, Sunday it was. And I said, why the fuck are we giving away X when we can do it for about half that by just thinking a little bit smarter? About education, I'm probably have a fairly similar understanding when it comes to how to structure deals financially that way. But I went, all right, let's we're for a trip to the lawyer. We need to research this and fast. It'll take us an hour, probably cost us $600 for a lawyer. We go, all right, this is a whole new way of how we're going to do no money out of pocket deals for eternity.
And the beauty of that, right, doing that, and what's inspired me so much, again, who you surround yourself with, right, the noise, the signal, the noise, is Shannon and Carson, seeing where they came from and what they're doing with no money. So if somebody's listening to this and they've got no money, but they've got a little bit of time, right, and they got some energy, anybody can do this, right? Like the deal that we're looking at the moment is a great, in my eyes, a great deal. And we're going to be doing it without putting any of our own money in.
Let's talk about that for a second. I think this is a really interesting subject for people, because a lot of time there's just a flat out block that money is scarce, because money is scarce in their life at the moment, or they've grown up with somebody who's put these ideas in their head that you can only borrow what the bank will give you. And if you don't have the money, stop dreaming, don't do it. I mean, I remember as young as being a child, my own brother would say, stop dreaming beyond your means, you know? And so it's a big hurdle just to get over mentally that you could have no money and find deals and make millions. So James, just tell us at a high level, what have you been doing in the background over the last few months specifically? And you went on this path to find deals with not using any of your own money. So what have you actually been doing?
Yeah, well, Christmas obviously slows a few things down, but Eric and I got together, said, okay, well, let's go and put some site. Eric's got a passion for property. I've done 140-odd lot subdivisions and all that sort of stuff before in the past and built townies. So I thought, okay, how do we do this? But also, how do we do it without any money around our pocket? So put together a site, you know, used some credibility, borrowed some credibility from Eric's recent developments and a bit of mine, and then went, okay, cool, well, let's go ahead and start outreaching and just see what the landscape looks like.
When you say put together a site for somebody, what does that mean? Do you go and find...
No, just a website. So we had to build...
Inbuilt
credibility, obviously. So I'm borrowing... So again, no money down, limited credibility. Go find someone who does and go into the legwork. So, and to that end, when we got a referral through one of the town plan architect, actually, on the coast here for a site... I went and had coffee with him, sat down, tried to work out what his needs were, what his motivations were, and it was like pulling teeth. It was just trying to get some urgency out of this guy. It was incredible. So, and we walked the site, ran the numbers, and it was just sort of went dead. And it was like a lead that had been kicked around by a few developers had gone through this site, and yeah, lo and behold, that he's taken it to market. So I'm like, hang on a sec, we'll go and pick that back up. And we're giving him less than I would have given him before, and there's got an agent involved. We're putting it together, and we'll probably get a signed paper this afternoon on that one.
Yep. So I just want to clarify this, because I really want people to understand. So you built a website.
Yep. That was, you don't need to, but I did.
Let's call it Denham Developments or something, right? So you build a website, talks about how you acquire sites for small scale.
Yeah. Residential developments.
Okay, so you build a website.
Yeah.
Then you got a lead through an architect. So did the architect own these sites?
No, it was going to be a joint venture partner with the current owner. It's one of Eric's contacts.
Okay. Yeah. So it's a bunch of houses at the moment?
Yeah, it's a couple of town old school units
that are on it. So there's a couple of old school units, and then so you're going to go and buy that and then
knock it over.
Yeah. And put how many on this?
So six.
Six
ten houses
on it. Okay. Yeah. And so you go there, you get it under contract.
Correct.
How do you get under contract without any money?
For the interim part, obviously, just get to negotiate a price. And so once we actually lock the thing up, I'll break it down completely on here and keep specific with the numbers and all that stuff. And then we've obviously got finance clause in there, 21 days finance. In a market like this, it's hard to go and do property options in a bull market.
Yes.
Not many owners are going to go, it creates awareness for the owner and go, oh, hang on, I'm going to go to a trusted agent to take it to market. So we've got a multi-pronged approach, as we will do outreach direct to owners plus all the agents in the area. So when they do get this, they go, they'll join dots and cast a channel doing the same strategy as well. So whilst off-market deals aren't dead, what it does is it alerts owners that they can get a nice premium price for their property. They take it to the agent. If you've got a relationship with the agent too, then you've got an open checkbook. Usually can deal suspects.
But fundamentally, you're going to get a lender involved that's maybe a non-bank lender.
Oh, definitely. For the construction loan, definitely. But what we're talking about at the moment is the upfront land acquisition or the site acquisition. We're going to look to either get an equity partner involved in the front of that or run a first mortgage model like you get as well with a preferred on it, potentially 14% per annum paid at maturity. And so they'll front the deposit, they'll front the DA, they'll front the stamp duty.
So you'll use something like Guardian, Barnes or Wingate or some of those.
So exactly like that, but we'll create our own at the front end.
And, okay. And the other thing is, like, I was talking to Shannon Carson yesterday about a similar deal they're doing. And you can get, commercial lending from traditional banks as well, right? From the Suncorps and CBAs and NABs. And, pay 10 to 12% as an example. And they'll give you roughly 60 to 65% LVR, right? Which basically just means they're going to give you 60 or 65% of the value of the property. So there's a gap there. Now, usually what happens is in that gap is you need to find the money, right? So it's either debt or equity, right? Or you put in your own. So
it's that time of year again at Unemployable where we're opening up our Unemployable business coaching program. It's over a 12-month period. And with that, you get private one-on-one coaching, group coaching, as well as private and live events throughout the year. You could get private coaching with me, and not only me, but our panel of experts that we have put together. These panel of experts have been in our network and are the exact people that we use in our business successes. People from branding, sales, marketing, our lawyers, our accountants, everyone that has helped build our businesses, you have access to. If this sounds of interest, go to www.unemployable.com.au/coaching and register your interest to see if it's a fit for you and us. Hope to see you there.
And the banks are okay with you then going and getting an external party to come and invest for the other 30 or 35%, like mezz lending, and go, okay, I'll pay you 15% for that portion. And then that can take you through the DA process. And then once you get the DA, you then get it revalued. And then all of a sudden you bought it for X. Now you get it revalued for X. And you can use that uplift, that manufactured equity, right, towards it to then go, okay, I can pay out that higher debt and then go full construction lend with the new bank. So there's many ways around it. But the beauty with this is there's no excuse that there's no money there. I've made two phone calls, right? Not even for the funding. Those two phone calls, one is a good friend of mine. He's a luxury real estate agent, one of my best mates. We went out for lunch on the weekend with the family. And I told him about the site. And he's like, I got three people right now that will invest. And I'm like, he's like, you know all of them. Because I'm like, I at the moment, I kind of rather use someone that's like arm's length,
yep.
You know, not friends, maybe not even an acquaintance, but somebody that, you may know or not know. But he mentioned the three names. I'm like, are you sure they're looking to do? He goes, man, they got cash and they just want to place it. And I'm like, wow, that's interesting. And then yesterday I had a meeting with my accountant, two accountants, and I mentioned about not the exact site, but the idea around, and they're like, yeah, we've got high net worths that are looking to place money. Like, there's money. There's so much money out there.
The common term is solicitor funds, and that's, you know, it's the deal with high net worth accountants, solicitors.
Yeah.
This comes back to, you know, opening up your mind, getting around this free community that's coming up with the unemployable /property, I think it is, or whatever, where you can register.
You can go, yeah. Where do they go for that?
It's just unemployable.com.au/2025. You can download the property workbook, and then we'll send you the
2025.
2025.
Yeah. I mean, and it's going to be a free community. Is that right?
The facility is going to be a free Facebook community that we're going to be adding a lot of value in. We're going to be doing monthly webinars. There's going to be a lot of value being put into this community. And then we're going to be offering high level coaching as well, if people really want to take things to the next level and teaching these exact things. But we're doing it. The beauty with what it is we're not just teaching it on the sidelines. We're in the trenches doing it. We're funding our own deals. We're trying not to fund our own deals. It's exciting.
Where I was going with that is back to that education piece of network, is your net worth and the whole story. I mean, there's people in your network, and I don't know how many downloads these things have already had. There's been like 1,000 downloads or something.
1,200.
I mean, there's going to be guys in there where idea capital execution, which is in the bottom of this cap here, the idea is the deal maker. The capital is from the network, and execution is probably the person who put the deal together. They're the project management, and that's, you know.
It's telling the story. Right?
Yep.
People get scared of banks, they get scared of lenders, but you got to tell them the story, right?
Sell it.
You got to sell it, right? They're investing in you just as much as they are the deal, right? And that's why James went to the lengths of creating a website, right? So if we're talking to agents, or we're talking to vendors, or we're talking to money guys, we can sit down and go, hey, if you guys want to have a look, take a look at some of the projects that we've currently done, and James is leveraging off some of my projects. I'm leveraging off of James and his expertise in finding these sites, and he's creating some amazing tools to do that in the back end. And that there's going to be more sites that will be found that we won't have the resource to do, which we can then go and say, hey guys, just so you know, there's a deal here. Somebody wants to look.
This is a big part of the community. So we're putting it together. It's going to be a free Facebook group to start with. And Shannon and Carson are going to coach into that Facebook group, and deals will be shared from all angles. So there'll be perhaps them bringing a deal like this, looking for the equity component. And the good thing is, if you invest in the deal, you actually get to see the deal unfold and learn as well. So to get on that list, just go to unemployable.com.au/2025, as in 2025. You get the free workbook from our last property day, where we took everybody around this area here, and we showed, I think there was about $60 million worth of property or something on that day of our own deals. And you know, I just like, I actually lend a lot of money in these deals, right? I ask these questions. I know the answers. I'm asking for you guys, right? One of the companies that I keep an eye on, I haven't invested with them, but I registered for their list, is Guardian Funds. And just yesterday I got an email from them, and there's two deals here. One's Opportunity Fund number 3. It's in Western Sydney, $8 million being raised at 13.5% to 15% per annum, fixed at the end.
Yeah, so yeah, it's at some paid in maturity.
Yeah, but it's not first mortgage. So
that's a perfect example. If we were to go to Suncorp and sell the dream and get the 65%, that might be the other $8 million that we need, is an example from Guardian Funds. And that's a second mortgage, and that's capitalized interest and gets paid at the end.
Yeah. And so I can invest in that as a private individual. And we're not on commission here. We're not affiliated with Guardian. I'm just saying, I get these in my inbox and I read them. I personally don't mezz lend. I like first mortgage lending, meaning that if things go south, I'm first in line and at a low LVR. The next deal was at 9%, and it's also in Western Sydney, and it's first mortgage, meaning that if things go south, as long as the property valuation lend up to 60, 70% of the valuation of the property, they could fire sale the property at 30% off, and all the investor capital.
Hence the interest rate, right?
The interest rate drops.
But it's because I'm not saying, well, I'm real. There's one deal there where if you want to wait till you're at a maturity, it's 13.5%. If you want to get paid monthly, it's 9%.
Yeah.
So because they could obviously fund the split.
That one was actually 13.5% if you want it quarterly.
Yeah.
And 15.
I thought it was maturity or quarterly.
15 if you wait till the end.
Yeah, maturity.
13.5 quarter. To take it quarterly.
Yeah.
Can I just say as well, for anyone listening right now, like, I don't understand mezz. I don't understand even DA. I've heard it 20 times from your private conversations. Yeah. So if you are listening to this right now and you want to build another income stream, if you want to learn about these sorts of things, then don't let the terminology confuse you. Because I know some people are going to go, this is too much for me. Go and join that property group. It's going to be giving away content that other people charge $5,000 to $20,000 for. Unemployable is going to be giving it away for free. And on the other vein, if you are an experienced property developer, investor, we've got almost $8 million of property. I don't know half of the stuff you guys are saying, so I can benefit from it as well. So whether you're a beginner who doesn't understand the terminology or whether you're an experienced property person, I would highly recommend you go get around these conversations because you guys are going to be breaking it down and really explaining all this stuff.
I'll give you one quick story on how this worked really well in my life because I've done mezz lending just means like Eric gets a deal. And he's got 65% approval from the bank. And he needs the other 35% because he doesn't want to put any money up. So that other 35% is mezzanine lending. It's the gap lending.
Yeah.
So I had a young guy come to me, a very close friend, and he needed $1.2 million in mezz lending. So he got, the bank had agreed to, the property was 3.2. The bank had agreed to put in 2 and he needed $1 million from someone in 1.2 because he wanted a couple hundred grand of working capital. So he came to me and he said, I'm looking for 10 people to raise 1.2 million. And I said, I'll put all of that in. And I got a 10% capitalized return, meaning I get paid the 10% at the end of the term, which is 1 year. So I put up the 1.2 million, plus I get 10% at the end and own the property with him afterwards as well, equity, which is why the mezzanine rate was only 10%, which is quite low for mezz lending. So what happened was we bought the property. A year later, we used the cash flow. It's a big commercial property. We used the cash flow to improve it. Multiple tenants, and then we got the property revalued on the after putting all the cash flow into it, improving the property, and then the property valued up higher, and then we got a relend for 3.2, so it could pay back me and pay back the original loan, and then we own it with none of our own cash in it. Today the property's worth 10 million, and now we own the property with zero cash in it and $6.5 million in equity, right? So
the chucks off a shit ton of cash flow.
It chucks off a shit ton of cash flow, hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars a year with no, with no money in it. So this is how these deals get done.
And these are the deals that are out there, right? There's deals happening right now. There's deals not happening right now because people think, oh, I can't get the money, or shit, I didn't earn enough this year. I can't go to my local bank and get it at 6.5%. So it's all in the deal. But what I would recommend, like what Adam was just saying about Guardian Funds, or any of, you know, these there's Balmain Finance, there's so many of them.
Wingate,
which is who you invest with. Sign up with them, right? Get their emails, get on their newsletters so you can actually start getting an understanding of what these deals look like. Ask questions, get educated. Like we dig here, but dig deeper.
And that's the thing. Like I sent you guys an article from a non-bank lender the other day, and it broke down all the different types of construction and development finance. Probably the most clear as I've ever seen it before. If you're still not sure, stick in GPT and say, summarize this in layman's terms. And it broke it down. And like all these, when you as soon as you get hit one of these sites, you'll get retargeted by fucking all of them. Trust me, I've had like 19 different funding sites on coming through, downloading all the, what they call an information memorandum, because we're going to be putting together an information memorandum for the subject site in the next week to go and raise the capital for the deposit. And then we go non-bank lending for the construction. So it's all there. And if you get stuck, and I keep saying it, and everyone does in this pod, GPT is so, if there's a free version now, upload it and go, please explain this in layman's terms. What do I need to know about this? And then double click on the first point. Explain this in more detail. Go to the second point, double click. It'll take an hour and a half with a cup of coffee or a glass of wine at the end of the night or whatever. You'll understand construction funding or whatever it is topic you're going to look at more than 99% of the people out there in the game that you're competing against.
Or keep commenting on the Woolies videos.
Yeah.
or choose wisely.
Yeah, Bazza. Don't be a fucking bather is who you don't want to be.
So, but it is very important, this area, that you do get educated before you spend money or invest money, because there is a big difference between first mortgage lending and second mortgage or mezzanine lending. There's a very big difference in risk profile.
I can't wait. I can't wait to dig into these topics on future pods and really educate the audience.
Like I largely at this point would only do mezzanine or second mortgage lending with people I really, really know and understand. Like when you look at that, the unsophisticated person will go, well, one is 15%, the other one's 9%. I'll just go with the 15%. But there's a big difference. If things go south, the person who's in that first mortgage with just the 9% return, they can sell the assets and then pay the first mortgage people back first. And these fire sales usually do get sold under market. So you might have a $10 million valuation on a property, and the first mortgage people have lent on a valuation of, you know, with $6 or $7 million of equity there, $7 million of equity usually. So, you know, it's a much, much safer position. So it's very, very important that you get very educated, talk to finance professionals before you lend these monies, and know what you're doing, because
there are a lot of sharks out there too. And it's in a bull market, which we're in at the moment in property, it's like, I used to project market years and years ago, and it's like, fuck, here they come again. There's about 95 different property educators that all got the secret sauce and the latest and greatest new strategy, and it's all fucking same regurgitated dog shit. And half of them, not investors themselves, they're marketers, and they're selling something.
At the end of the day, if you've got a good site, like what I'm assuming you guys have found, or my friend who brought me that other deal, if you've got a great deal that, and you're on that side and you want to be the developer, there's a load of money, like unlimited money in Australia to support good Australian property deals. And if you want to be a lender, like there's phenomenal money managers out there. Like, as I said, I go through Wingate. I've had a great experience with them, and I put it into a fund, and they lend it across about 70 to 80 projects at once. So your funds are still exposed to Australian real estate in a first mortgage position in a diversified way, with no one project having more than 5%. And it's professionally managed by a team of people that have the wherewithal to do the due diligence, take over a project if they had to. So that I feel comfortable, but you've got to make yourself comfortable and all that. So it's an exciting space. So moving on from that, I just want a couple of other quick things to round out. Interesting news out of the US with Trumpy announcing tariffs on Australian steel and aluminium, I think it was.
Yep.
It's an interesting one when you actually really start to, like, at the moment, there's a lot of noise going. They're doing it because of the free speech, and Trump is basically putting these tariffs on any country that has controlling free speech laws. Now, that's not in the mainstream media. It's in alternative media at the moment, that story mostly. I don't know how true that is or not. But one thing that you've got to remember with these tariffs is that the aggressor is often the one that's disadvantaged the most. So while Trump is trying to send the message, I'm putting out these tariffs because it's in the benefits of America, well, quite often it's at their detriment, because everything goes up by 25%. The companies aren't going to drop their cost if the country needs the good. So if you actually dig into it, it's actually long-term, it can backfire pretty hard on the country that's trying to create the tariffs. It's interesting that he's swinging it around. It'd be interesting to see how that pans out for Australia. But I think at this moment, it's sort of a wait and see.
It's definitely affecting the markets, eh? A little bit up and down, round and round.
Yeah, but it's not real. I mean, if you look at steel and those, the amount that they're talking about being exposed relative to that industry, it's not that big. I think they said it was $300 million of exports to America, which relative to the steel and industry of Australia, it's not the whole industry.
Gee, if you had a bit of time, right, like... And you follow this news, like someone like Mark, as an example, does this, right? Like, he's kind of on top of all of this before any of us. He's sending us stuff on X before we even know about it. But like, if you can follow and track some of this stuff, you know, and you know these, you could be buying on these little dips, eh? Like what Mark's doing.
Oh, totally.
Like you can just, okay, yeah, he's announced a tariff. You know it's going to go down. Okay, buy a bit here. 3 days later, everybody forgets about it. Bang.
We follow Invest Answers, and he's been talking about this week. James has been saying there's a Bitcoin trader. He follows all the top wallets and has alarms on like what they're buying and when they're selling.
Mr. 100.
Yeah, it was Mr. 100 and Mrs. 200. So there's this, they think they're Middle Eastern entities, but this entity, this wallet's been buying 100 Bitcoin a day, just every single day, just 100 Bitcoin, 100 Bitcoin, 100 Bitcoin. To put that in perspective, that's about $15 million Aussie.
Yep.
So he's buying $15 million a day. And the other one's Mrs. 200, he's called her. And I think they're buying 200 Bitcoin every single day. Last week, over 3 days, they bought and sold a little bit of their bag and picked up $7 million in the trade in 4 days, was it? Or three days? They
bought at 100, uh, sold at 106,000, bought back at 93,000.
Yeah.
200 Bitcoin.
Yeah. And then sold it again and picked up the
deal. Made $7 million. $7 million. Tax free if it's in UAE.
Yeah. Tax free in the UAE and just making bonkers money, which is kind of interesting. But yeah, there's a lot going on. So just to wrap,
you want to white knuckle rides if you're doing that job. Trading is not easy.
No,
it's fucking hard.
I can't do it.
Me neither.
I tried it and I just ripped up cash like left, right, and center, and it was not the most fun experience. It's just buy it and stick it in the digital fucking cupboard and forget about it. Okay. Now, speaking about markets in turmoil, that whole DeepSeek thing we touched on the other day, it's all bullshit. David Sachs from All In, who's now the AI czar and for Trump's administration, he pulled a 12-minute segment out of the All In. He said, that's bullshit. The guy who funded DeepSeek, that's my words, not his, obviously, he's speaking in front of government, is that the funder, a VC who funded DeepSeek, if you go back and look at all the transaction history, he's been buying microchips for 5 years. He spent over $1 billion on microchips, and the training model might have taken $6 million to do over a short period of time. But that whole story was exactly that. It's a headline clickbait. It wasn't a $6 million deal, and it didn't take 5 months. The guy's been fucking buying all the microchips right up, and there's a ban on buying the microchips or some hoo-ha like that. You might know more about that than me. But he pulled it apart and he said, great headline grabber, but you know, it's not the case at all. So, and they've just taken massive market share with the most downloaded app on the planet. I took them side by side, then I just did some research. I've had DeepSeek, Grok, Gemini, and GPT. And GPT shat on all of them for the same input. And the level of output they got, GPT won hands down over three different prompts. But
just based on your
anyway, talk about the whipsawing that caused the crypto markets. Like my wallet's taken a fucking hiding. Anyway, but
not just crypto. I mean,
no,
ADR tech generally.
Well, I don't play in those markets. But I just had a crypto hiding. I think anyone that's holding some crypto at the moment is just going,
Bite down and smile.
Yeah,
you've been in business for a while. You're used to the
Zen treatment.
Zen's dead.
Head boat. Get that pool pillow. That's it.
Marcellus Wallace does not like to be fucked.
But anyway,
like Mrs. Wallace.
Does Marcellus look like a bitch? What? Why are you trying to fuck him like a bitch?
I've only watched that about 45 times. So.
I know. On that note, we're going to close out with a little shout out to our entrepreneurs that listen to the show, because we introduced this segment last week and we're going to try and do it every week if we get stuff from you guys who are listening. Rather than having sponsors on the pod at the moment, we are supporting our listeners. So if you're a small business owner, you've got under $1 million in revenue and you have a physical product, you're an Australian or New Zealand business owner, and you want some exposure for the product, send a product to us and we'll unbox it on the show. And today we have an awesome product. It's called La Traveler. And this is from a female entrepreneur here on the Gold Coast. And it is a legit beautiful product. So this is perfect for people who travel a lot. It's a brand new business. She's just started a few weeks ago. You can go to the website, La Traveler. So LATRAVLA. So latraveler.com. And if you like what I'm about to show, you can put in unemployable in the coupon code and you get $20 off. And it's perfect for people travel because there's a lot of people who are afraid of germs, and they're a real thing when you travel, microbes and all that sort of stuff. And also dust mites and dust generally, which can set you off. So this is a really high quality. And you can tell when you open this box, you know, when you get stuff from some companies and you can just tell it's probably a girl that owns it because they really care. So some dude is like, let's see if we can make a dollar out of this. It's got these beautiful like messages in the top, which are in all the different languages. Good night, bon nauseous, bon and you, yeah, all the different languages.
Keep reading them. You're willing to next trip to Cyprus.
Butchering it. But there's these beautiful cards and everything. You can just tell it's a product made with genuine care. And so basically what it is it's a beautiful silk wrap. And I've been using this. Now, Jamie, who owns the company, said to me, Adam, I don't want you talking about it on the podcast unless you've used it and actually like it, which I do. So I've used this for last week. And you just basically put it over any pillow where you are. traveling, and it protects you from all this stuff. And when you read it on the back, it's actually 100% mulberry silk infused with slow release silver nanoparticles, which are proven to kill microbes and germs and all this stuff. And it's just really nice to put your face on. So if you're a germ phobe person, or you suffer from allergies, or you just want a super luxurious type sleeping experience, I've put this on and I don't want to take it off. It's just so good to sleep on. So if you want one of those for your traveling or just want to have a bed night's sleep, get one. Jamie, well done. I'm so proud of you for launching this business. The website, the packaging, it is on point. If you want a masterclass in what an amazing little e-commerce store should look like, Jamie's a creative soul. She's absolutely smashed this one. And it's her first business like this. So I'd love it if you go along and support her. Use the checkout coupon unemployable, get $20 off. Amazing.
Well done. I got to check that out because like I'm I guess maybe 50% germaphobe, right? My missus is totally opposite of me. She's like, ah, who cares? And we go traveling a lot, right? We got two kids. And let me tell you, the amount of times I've seen our neck pillows being dragged down the middle aisle of an airplane and then my kids are drooling on it 2 hours later, and the whole thing I'm just thinking about, like,
if you really want to get one, just think about what James has done to people on pillows and that's our room.
I was waiting for a comment to drop, but I thought Adam's going through a little infomercial pitch here. If I have some fashion smart ass going here, it's gonna ruin the pitch for poor Jamie.
I've just sent your sales to the moon.
And Eric, it's for a pillow. Okay,
that's he frequents the Best Western in Southport, by the way, just so everyone knows.
It's by the hour. Yeah.
If you say bye bye to the pillow, you know James has been there.
Yeah, you know James has been there. You don't know the reason. You don't know what reason. It might be the Bitcoin. It might not be.
I'm gonna make a silk cape, I think.
Jamie, I'm so sorry to degrade your beautiful product without the cheaper ways.
But that's a very good idea.
It's a great idea.
That's
awesome. And so you go grab one,
LaTraveler.com.
The last thing I want to take it out on, Tony, I want to get you to take this out today because you dropped a comment underneath last week's video, which got quite a lot of comments back and traction.
Yeah.
Just talking directly to small business owners out there that are struggling at the moment.
Yeah.
Just take us out with some thoughts on that because you are a business coach. You support a lot of men out there through your Business Empowered Man.
Yep.
What's going on through your mind? What words of wisdom can we give to small business owners out there that are doing it tough?
So any small business owner that's struggling right now, just know that you are seen, you're respected, you're heard, and we fucking get it. You know, we've got people on this panel making $4 million a year, sometimes $10, $100 million a year. And I think as Australians, we seem to look at people and put them on a pedestal. They're successful, they're doing well, they don't struggle. What you don't see behind the scenes is the sleepless nights, the waking up thinking about work, just can't switch your brain off. It's going a million miles an hour. Your wife or husband upset at you for working too much. The kids saying, Dad, Mum, when are you going to come home? When are we going to spend time together? Looking at your bank balance or your tax bill and going, shit, how am I going to make this work? It seems that a lot of hardworking business owners think that they're alone. They feel like they're alone and you're not. You're not. So last week we did a segment on how my business went from $400,000 a month to $90,000 a month in a couple of weeks and the fear I had on how am I going to provide for my family. So if you are currently struggling, you're working too much, you have no time, you're stressed, you might even be trying to numb yourself a little bit, understand that this is part of the process and it's normal and it's okay and you're not alone. And every single one of us on this panel understands what you're going through. And you will get through it. It's just the season. You've got through every single season up until now. You'll get through this season and your resilience will build. And you will get to a point where it's not any easier. The weight's going to get heavier and heavier, but you're going to become stronger. And when you become stronger, it doesn't matter how much weight is on that bar.
Awesome piece there. And just for context as well, talking about failure with business, sometimes they just don't work. And sometimes you've got to know when to put a bullet in it. There's an article I saw yesterday about a guy that went and spent a week with Richard Branson on Necker Island.
Is that Jack Henderson?
Yeah. And it was more along the lines of, you know, even the best fail. And Branson said, if you're not willing to lose $100 million, you're not going to make $1 billion. And he's there on Necker Island, and he had Virgin Orbit, and it just failed and ripped up a shit ton. And just keep on moving. In other words, it happens to the best of us, the best, I should say. And so that can happen to the rest. And if it is, it's not the end of the world. As you said, you made it this far. You continue to make
always
it.
Got through.
Like I won last year. We put a bullet in. It wasn't much fun, but fuck it. It was like next.
I think true growth is. Not with successes, but with how you react to failures and how you come out of them. Tom Brady said a really, really good piece in the past about that. And it's very, very true. Hey,
it's fail forward. It's one of our mantras in Empowered Man is fail forward. You will fail so many times and you'll feel like you're getting punched in the face, punched in the dick, punched in every single part of your body. You'll feel like you're getting destroyed by the world.
Fish. Inside joke.
I was just thinking about you, Tony. I'm like, people are going to listen to that last riff and then they go, did he just say how fucked it is because he dropped to 90 grand a month?
Yeah, but this is the point, is you don't see the 140K of expenses. So when you're down 50, and this is the thing, everyone's on their own journey and fail forward and it's fucking hard, but we signed up for it. Right. You know, if it was easy, everyone would do it.
And I brought that up for that reason is because, you know, people just hear headline numbers. They don't understand this. Like we've got businesses right now that are, you know, some of them are eight figure or close to eight figure business. They don't make money yet. There's still every dollar's going back into growth. It's just, you know, and what James said, we've all failed to, I don't know if you failed yet. I definitely have, but he's sort of on
not,
the line.
Not at a big level, you know, there's been a couple little small ones, but not at a big level, but
it's normal, right?
Yeah. Just, I say this a lot, but just keep in mind, right? Like create a business and a lifestyle that you want, right? Not just for the money. Cause sometimes you might have a business and we've talked about this before, Tony, right? And it's bringing a shit ton of money, but then you start realizing it's not one you're actually enjoying. Did a coaching call last night. And I asked one question. I said, who's excited about their business that they're in? 50% of the people put their hand up. I said, that's a big problem. Because let me tell you, those sleepless nights, right? Those shit sandwiches when you're not getting paid and you're not getting the sales. If you're not excited about your business, the likeliness that you're just going to give up is high. You need to be excited about your business. You don't have to be excited about your business every day. Right. But majority of time, you need to be excited about the business. You need to be excited about the challenges because that's what builds the resilience.
Yeah.
Because it's what's easy to do is easier not to do. And it's so much easier to just give up and throw in the towel. And like James said, there's times where you need to do that. Right. But if you're not excited about your business, you got to look in the mirror and go, holy shit, what am I waking up to every day and what am I building? And it's hard because some of us look at that as a failure, right? You say fail forward, but we're not taught to fail forward. We're taught if it doesn't succeed, you're a failure. You're going to be judged.
Yeah, you're wrong for it. And one thing I will say as well is I looked at my business as my identity for so long. A lot of business owners can relate to that. This is who I am. This is what I do. I love what I do. I help a lot of men, but now it's not my identity. It's a vehicle. It's one of the vehicles to build freedom. And if you can link the vehicle to purpose, freedom, as opposed to just being excited, because there are days you love your business and you want to fucking kill it. Like you hate it. Do you know what I mean? You have ups and downs.
It's a marriage, right?
It is. It is a very...
It doesn't ever... Marriage. You never away from it.
A failure, right? It's even worse than marriage.
Yeah.
That's the truth, you know? Yep. Americans are much better at this than Australians. Like Americans are bright, like, we tried this thing, didn't work. And then we tried another thing, didn't work. And it's just normal, like out there. But here in Australia, it's just a very personal sport that people are taking personally.
The deer is half dead and we're still trying to revive it on the side of the road. It's got one leg cut off and it's like, no, I'm getting it back.
Sorry, I must have cut them before then.
There's a great book called The Dip by Seth Godin. It's about an hour to read it. It talks about how to quit. And it's just something that's not talked about enough. There are some times that quitting is the best option. And so on. So anyway, that's enough for that for today. We're out of time. Guys, thank you for listening. Hopefully you found today's Friday session helpful and I appreciate your attention. Remember, if you want to get involved in the property group that we're going to be launching soon so you can see deals, maybe invest in some deals or pitch some deals and get money for your deals,
go to unemployable.com.au/2025, get on the mailing list and get the last property tour where you can actually see our own deals. If you're interested in one of these beautiful travel pillowcases, or I don't even think it's for travel, home, go to latraveler.com and put in unemployable at the checkout and enjoy that.
So the name sort of gives away that it might be for travel, you're saying?
Yeah, I don't think you need it for that though. It's beautiful. Other than that, have a great week out there, guys. We'll see you on the next one. Bye for now.
Hey there. I hope you enjoyed that episode of Unemployable. If you'd like to watch another episode, just click there.